Welcome to the Hope United Church podcast. We are one church with two locations. For video live streams of our services and more information, please visit www.hopeunited.org.uk.
Well, this morning and last night I was talking about a message. Can you put the message title up, if you don't mind, media team? The message is, it's creating an ambiguous ambience. Quite a big word, isn't it? Creating an ambiguous ambience. I think the longer I'm in church, the more secure I try and become and attempt to become, the more ambiguous or the more ambiguous I become, where things is less black and white. I was very black and white in the early stages of my journey. I was very black and white before I got saved, and I was very black and white after I got saved. I find it, and I'm talking for me here, my black and white, meaning it's either right or wrong and that's it. There's one way to do it. There's a right way and there's a wrong way and that's it. I find that people that, no, certainly me, that when you've only got a right way and a wrong way to do things, usually it's driven deeply, I'm talking about me, by chronic insecurity. When you've only got, there's a right and a wrong way of doing things, and we struggle to embrace difference. And I think the church should be the most diverse place on the planet. No, I think we should have all types, and people are at different stages of their journey at all walks of life, and some people are further on. Any given day, I'm sure we can all agree, any given day I can be worse than MD. You know, no, and I can be better than MD. No, I mean how I feel. But a lot of times I'm in a bad place and no great in my head, and other days I'm fantastic, you know. And I think you learn over the years that being less black and white is much more helpful to your life. This morning I spoke about this and spoke about John and the Gospels, where John is, and I love that. I love it's John that kind of points it out. And it's, I was talking about where John rebukes people for casting out demons in Jesus' name. Sounds crazy, isn't it? No, because they weren't one of Jesus' type, because they didn't cut about with Jesus. It makes you wonder where they came from. Where did these people that was casting demons out, were they one of the 5,000 that Jesus fed and they just went on their business? But Jesus then ends up kind of really going to town in their belief systems. No, know their behaviour. Church has become obsessed with behaviour. We're behaving, believing's kind of out the window. I'm pretty much, if I call it obsessed, totally obsessed with believing and what we believe, because if we can change our believing, we can change pretty much everything in our life. And so I think ever since I get saved, this stuff pretty much rocks my world. And I think as I got older, I just get a bit better language for it. Maybe become less judgmental some days and become more ambiguous in my approach to where people are at in life and what can be achieved in life and where people are at and where they're not. I was talking to someone today, I don't know, and you think that, I don't know, if you're a relationship person, you're a people person, and if you're anything like me, I don't like when people don't like me. But I'm in the wrong job. Seriously. I'm in the wrong job if I need everybody to like me, because I'm hate for a lot. And that's okay. But I've never been a fan of that. I think when you're a friendly person, I think we're a dead friendly church. No, and we can struggle with people who are no friendly. Because I think we take it personal, and I think we think it's our job to get them to like us. No, and we think we gun for them, trying to get them to like us. So we walk in the direction that they're in. No, I'll give you some great advice. See somebody doesn't like you, don't just go into a different room. Save a lot of hassle. But we tend to gun for relational people, trying to get them to like us, and it can be really difficult. And you've not got a clue what's going on in somebody's life at that point. We've not got a clue what's going on, why there's somebody's for you or no for you. And John, the disciple, didn't he like that there were people using Jesus to heal people? No, and he wasn't the favourite. He wasn't the number one. And Jesus attacks, really attacks their believing. And any time that Jesus says in Scripture that he was perceiving in people's hearts what was going on, he was challenging what they believe. No, it's like Elijah says, did my heart not go before you? And ambiguous means to have more than one fixed solution or to be open to different interpretations. Ambience means the character or atmosphere of a place. So if we're trying to create, which I believe we are, I think we're well on our way with that, and in Dundee we're trying to establish that, we're trying to create an open, inclusive church that's got that atmosphere and the very fibres of it. So this morning I was talking about that and talking about John and talking about our belief systems. And I mentioned about Freud. Now, Freud's an interesting guy. I don't agree with everything Freud says. Also, I'm no near as intelligent as him. That's for sure. Freud is the father of psychoanalysis. Psychoanalysis is where people study your behaviours and your belief systems and get to the root of why you believe what you believe. So there were Freud, there was Carl Gustav Jung, and there was Albert Adler. These three guys, Swiss psychologists, Swiss psychoanalysts, and the theorem kind of branched out and done a different thing. But this is what Freud said, which I agree with in this note. He says, neurosis has no tolerance for ambiguity. And what that means is the outworkings of our belief systems have no space for anything else. Example, you ever been in a huff and somebody tries to talk you out of it? And you're having none of it? Having none of it, no. Sometimes you work, you know, you have to work as hard for a negative as you do for a positive. Yeah. I've been in church for long enough and I have to kind of just learn to kind of just silence the crowd. Some people are hell-bent and not listening to me. Seriously, I know you're shocked at that. I'm not. Yeah. Some people are absolutely working dead hard to disagree with me. Yeah. They're working really hard to not get what I'm saying. Yeah. Oh, they're making as much effort doing that as they would be trying to learn. Yeah. It's just how they live. Yeah. It's just how it is. And because their belief system doesn't want to get talked to in and that they're in. And you're in a huff and that's it. Ever felt rejected and no matter the evidence of love, you still feel rejected? Yeah. Doesn't matter the evidence of love, you still feel rejected. Yeah. No. One person doesn't love you and the whole world hates you. Yeah. You get what I mean? It's crazy. Yeah. This is Freud's definition of neurosis then. Neurosis is a socially accepted dysfunctional mental disorder. Okay, so I know yous haven't got one, I would never call yous mental. I'm mental. My name's Mark and I've got a socially acceptable dysfunctional mental disorder. When I tell you what neurosis is, you'll all have, well, if you're remotely breathing, you'll have one. Fear, anger, resentment, jealousy, laziness, perfectionism, pride, arrogance, impulsiveness, shyness, the list goes on and on. All of them are a neurosis. They're the internal emotion of a belief. They are a socially accepted dysfunctional mental disorder. So if you're looking for your next tattoo, pretty much all these things are a socially acceptable way of dealing with pain and drama. Pretty much a socially acceptable way of dealing. A huff's a socially acceptable way of dealing with drama. Yeah. Socially, I know. We, I'm not saying we like it, but in general, you don't get shot for it. Yeah. Helpful? No. Positively effective? Absolutely not. But pretty much accepted in society is just how things are, and it pretty much and totally accepted in our own mind. No. So next time you can't be bothered, just phone in your boss in the morning and say, you know what, I just couldn't be bothered getting up this morning. I've got a socially accepted dysfunctional mental disorder. And just let me know, just let you know I've got a line for it. You'd get a line for anything now, wouldn't you? For goodness sake, yeah. You got a line for a broken flask. I worked in the building trade, you used to take flasks to work. See, I know a guy was off 3 weeks with a broken flask. So Carl Jung, the other psychoanalyst who believes in a spiritual remedy, if you like, He says this, if we are able to develop a more spatial personality, meaning if we're able to adapt and allow new things and new thoughts and new ideas to come into your life, it's hard to allow new thoughts and new ideas and new ways to come into your life, especially when they coincide with what you already believe. Yeah. It's when Jesus says, if your arm causes you to sin, which I've been talking about recently, then cut it off. You don't want to cut off a belief system. And a belief system is as part of you as your arm or your eye. So if we are able to develop a more spatial personality, says, the neurosis will generally leave us. The anxiety will leave us. The anger will leave us. The bitterness will leave us. The resentment will leave us. The laziness will leave us. The perfectionism will leave us. So if we are more open to other things and new ideas and new belief systems getting put into your life, which Jesus was actually always trying to achieve with, and especially with the disciples here, then things will generally leave us. I love this, and I said it this morning. The guys that were laying on hands and casting out demons, we don't know who they are. Yeah. But Jesus wasn't working with them, which is great. So, because that kind of tells me that they were already okay. Yeah. But Jesus was willing to work with the no okay. Yeah. So that's very comforting to me, because you would think Jesus would go, well, I'm not working with you, John. Yeah. We are going to work with the okay. Yeah. But Jesus was willing to invest in these 12. Who became 11, even though they had this stuff going on. And John being, I don't know, in all intents and purposes, the most sorted at them all. You know, you could expect Peter to do that. But yet, this is who Jesus chose to work with, which is very comforting for my socially dysfunctional mental disorder, to be quite honest with you. If we are then able to develop our mind and allow our thoughts and ideas and beliefs, new thoughts, new ideas, new beliefs to enter our world, then the anger, rage, justification and all that other stuff can be compensated and beaten. However, Jung wrote this as well, and I'll paraphrase this. Regardless of the facts and the possibilities of other solutions, neurotics continually sell themselves ideas that don't work. Seriously. That's when we don't want to change, we quickly learn to sell ourselves a bad idea. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. I want to talk to you tonight about, seeing you don't want to change, how we can spot selling ourselves a bad idea. Because there's two things either going on in every one of your lives. We're either pursuing a habit or we're trying to change. Scripture says that there's a way that seems right in a man's own eyes, but in the end it leads to death. There's a way that seems right. Jesus says, I am the way. But there's a way that seems right in a man's own eyes, but in the end it leads to death. I believe this, and I don't talk this much. See if you're willing tonight, and I don't know if you're willing or no. I think some of you are. I hope most of you are. See if you're willing tonight. See what I'm going to share next. It's got the possibility. I believe this, and you know I never talk less about selling. See if you're willing tonight. See if you're no willing and you're no interested, then I don't see the point. I don't even see the point coming out of the house, to be perfectly honest with you. But that's up to you. There is a way that appears right, but in the end it leads to death. Yeah. And Jesus is no our way, Jesus is the way. Yeah. But there's loads of the ways. Yeah. So here's the question I want to ask before I get and share some points. And I'm going to share a scripture for the Old Testament. Am I looking for change? Or am I selling myself my neurosis? If you're ever struggling to answer that question honestly, then the litmus test would be, whose voices am I rejecting at the moment? Yeah. And who is helping me sell this idea? Big question. I know yous are thinking, ain't you? I've got yous thinking. I hope I've got yous thinking. And if you have known voices, then you're definitely selling yourself a bad idea. The man who isolates himself seeks his... The man who isolates himself seeks his own ideas. He rages against all forms of counsel. Yeah. The man who isolates himself seeks his own ideas. Yeah. Mm. People will tell you this, and this is not, doesn't make me right. It just lets me know that I've got a socially mental dysfunctional disorder thing. Every time I meet a leader or a peer, and any of these guys who spend time here know us, they never leave my company without me saying, can I ask you a question? What do you see? What do you see in me? and never leave? Now, that can be a scary question, because it might seem... It's only a scary question if you want to look good. See, if you want to get good, it's no scary question. It's only a scary question if you want to look good. If you want to get well, it's no scary at all. It's only a scary question if you're frightened of what you see. It's only a scary question if you would rather look good than be good. So I always say to them, are there anything you see in me, in the church, and in me personally, in what I say or in what I'm doing? Every single peer and leader and every single man of God in my life, I ask that question without fail.
Yeah.
Without fail. If we get guest speakers coming, I ask that question. If I'm at a conference, I ask that question. Because I know that I've got the ability to pull the wool over my own eyes and sell myself a bad idea.
Yeah.
I have got the ability to sell myself a bad idea. Under the guise, it's a fantastic idea.
Yeah.
So how do you think I'm doing, ask? Why? Because I don't want to sell myself a neurosis.
Wow.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I don't want to sell myself a neurosis.
Yeah.
Or a habit.
Yeah.
Now, we can look to be asking that question. And here's where we're going to go. So, Bible in hand, try and just hold on here. This is wordy, Old Testament. I want to share a scripture that, and a story that I've talked about many times in here about a man called King Ahab. Okay, let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 18. If you are into the Bible, Chronicles and Kings is the same stories. They parallel each other. One is the spiritual condition that's going on in people. Another is the political condition that's going on. So not that really matters here. Okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read out a bit and then I'm going to start getting some points on this stuff, okay? So, 2 Chronicles, chapter 18. Jehoshaphat had riches and honour and abundance, and by marriage he allied himself with Ahab. After some years he went down to visit Ahab in Samaria, and Ahab killed sheep and oxen in abundance for him and the people who were with him, and persuaded him to go up with him to Ramoth-Gilead. So King Ahab of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, will you go with me against Ramoth-Gilead? And he answered and said, I am with you, and my people as your people, and we will be with you in the war. Also Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, please inquire for the word of the Lord today. Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, 400 men, and said to them, shall we go to war against Ramoth-Gilead, or shall I refrain? So they said, go up, for God will deliver this into your hand. Now, just before we get into that, this is who Jehoshaphat allied himself with. Jehoshaphat's son, Jeroham, married Athalia. I think that's how you pronounce it. The Hebrew meaning for that means afflicted. Athalia was a notorious murderess. It's no surprising when you think her dad was Ahab and her mother was Jezebel. That's the family he's married into. Scary thought, eh? Some of you are like, I know what that's like to marry into a crazy family. Yeah. And Jehoshaphat is now the soft in-law. Ahab then tells Jehoshaphat a bad idea. And Jehoshaphat really doesn't want to go along with it. But just to keep the peace, he says, Ahab, let's get some counsel. So who does Ahab ask when he's trying to sell a bad idea? Oi, yes, men.
Yeah.
Hello. Point one, if you want to sell yourself or ourselves a bad idea or feed a neurosis, we will gravitate and surround ourselves with people weaker than ourselves.
Yes. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's amazing, isn't it? See, that's an altar call right there.
Yeah.
If you're trying to sell yourself a bad idea or you don't want to change, you will gravitate and surround yourself with weaker and less aware people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ahab, get 400. Yes, men. Of course they're 400 yes, men. He pays their wages. Of course they're going to say, yes, Ahab, whatever you say, great idea. Question. Who's in your life at this moment in time? This is quite a challenging message. I've not spoken this for ages. Who are you surrounding yourself with? People that know less than you so you can sell them a bad idea so they'll agree with you? If we want to sell ourselves a bad idea or feed a neurosis, we will gravitate and surround ourselves with weaker and less aware people. Point one. If Verse 6 and 7. We cool here?
Yeah.
But Jehoshaphat said, is there not a prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of him? So the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, there is one man. There is still one man to whom we may inquire of the Lord. But I hate him. Of course you do. I hate him. Do you know why he hates him? Because he never tells me about things I want to hear. Because he never prophesies good concerning me, but always evil. He is Micaiah, the son of Imlah. And Jehoshaphat said, oh, don't say that about him. If I want to sell a bad idea or a neurosis, point two, we will turn truth into a negative and turn the truth teller into an enemy.
Yeah.
We will turn truth into a negative and we'll turn the truth teller into an enemy.
Yeah.
Who are you making an enemy? What truth tellers are you making enemies in your life? What did they do to become an enemy?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. They don't tell you what they want to hear.
Yeah.
We want to sell ourselves a bad idea or feed our neurosis. We'll turn our truth into a negative and the truth teller into an enemy.
Yeah.
This doesn't end well here. I just want to let you know, this does not end well. And I will guarantee you, in the name of Jesus, and I say this with all authority, if you're listening here, you're listening here. See if that's the road you're going down, you're in deep bother.
Yeah.
And see if you don't take heed to it, it's not going to end well for you.
Yeah.
No, this is not a, oh no, this is woe be me. This is an opportunity.
Yeah.
This is an opportunity here. Because
yeah.
if you go on the wrong road and you start selling yourself a bad idea and hiding the wrong things that you should be hiding, it's not going to end well. It doesn't end well here.
Yeah.
No, this doesn't end good. So just and there's loads of reasons why. Okay, are we moving on? Are we cool?
Yeah.
Cool. Don't shoot the messenger.
Yeah.
Okay. Verse 8. Then the king of Israel called one of his officers and said, bring Micaiah the son of Imlah quickly. And the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat king of Judah clothed in their robes sat each other on the throne, and they sat in the threshing floor at the entrance of the gate of Samaria, and all the prophets prophesied before them. Now Zedekiah the son of Chenaiah had made horns of iron for himself. Just needed to say that loud there. And he said, thus says the Lord. Does he? With these you shall gore the Syrians until they are destroyed. And all the prophets prophesied so saying, go up to Ramoth Gilead and prosper, for the Lord will deliver the king's hand. Point three, if you want to sell yourself a bad idea or feed your neurosis, you will only want to listen to them that agree with you.
Yeah.
In Ahab's case, all the self-appointed false prophets.
Yeah.
These are no prophets. These are self-appointed false prophets. And his yes men, 400. 400 yes men. He's got one guy out of 400 that can tell him the truth. And he doesn't like him. Well, he's got 400 who tell him what he want to hear. Surely that's not a bad ratio.
Yeah.
Listen, I don't think it's a fair ratio we have 400 truth tellers and one friend.
Yeah.
Or one sugar-coated friend. That would be no right. But surely it's not a bad ratio. 400 folk that blow smoke up your bum. to help you sell your bad idea that you've manipulated to control because they're already weaker than you.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah.
And now, don't get me wrong. Some of the reasons they don't mind your bill... it's because they're terrified that you leave them anyway, so they'll tell you anything you want so that you stay with them because they're already insecure.
Yeah.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Great. 400 voices of weaker people agreeing with you. One man who says, listen, he never tells me what I want to hear, get rid of him. Only one you need. No, we're so easy to take resentments against the one truth, but 400 years. You sometimes got to go, you know what? There's only one person. I can count in one hand the amount of people that I allow to speak into my life like that. I'm not talking about men of God who ask their opinion. I'm talking about really speaking into my life. I've got loads of people that agree with me.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not enough.
Yeah.
I still need that portion. Even if it's only one out of 400 is no bad, eh?
Yeah.
Okay, verse 12 to 16. So point three, I'll say that again. If you want to sell yourself a bad idea or feed yourself a neurosis, you will only want to listen to them who already agree with you. Verse 12. We cool here?
Yeah.
Then the messenger who had gone to call Micaiah spoke to him saying, "Now listen, the words of the prophet are with one accord to encourage the king. Therefore, please let your words be like that," more or less what he's saying. And Micaiah said, "As the Lord lives, whoever my God says and whatever he says, I'll speak." Don't you love Micaiah?
Yeah.
Then he came to the king. Depends what you want to do. Then he came to the king, and the king said to him, "Micaiah, shall we go into war against Ramoth-Gilead, or shall I refrain?" And he said, "Go and prosper, and they shall deliver you into the hand." You almost know he's saying it like that, didn't you? You almost know he's saying it that way because he's trying to convict Ahab, because Ahab knows what he's doing deeply. He's no right.
Yeah.
He's like, brilliant idea. Brilliant idea. Because he actually deeply knows that the guy knows that he's manipulating.
Yeah,
just move on a wee bit here. So the king said to him, "Micaiah, shall I go?" "I go, it's a great idea." So the king then said to him, see, he's goading him into the king to do this. He's a smart guy. He says, "How many times shall I make you swear that you're telling me the truth, none but the truth?" Why was it Micaiah telling the truth? Why is it Ahab knew that he wasn't telling the truth? Because deep down in Ahab's spirit, deep down within his belief system, he knew.
Yeah.
He knew what he was doing. Wasn't he right?
Yeah.
He knew what he was doing. Wasn't he right? So the king said to him, "How many times you swear?" And then he said, "I saw all Israel scattered in the mountains as the sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let each return to his house in peace." Point four, if you want to sell yourself a bad idea or feed a neurosis, you will try to intimidate the truth teller.
Yeah.
I want to tell any of you that are daring to be honest, don't allow them who are selling themselves a bad idea be at your disposal,
yeah,
trying to intimidate you.
Oh,
where they're huffing and they're puffing and they're no listening. Seriously, they're huffing and they're puffing and try to intimidate you. No. You're a man of God. Don't allow them to intimidate you. I'm being bold, eh? Don't allow them to intimidate you. They're trying to intimidate you. I refuse to be intimidated. Your courage to not be intimidated with them might help them stop killing themselves or stop destroying themselves. They will try and intimidate you and shut you down. Remember who their parents are. And who they come from.
Yeah.
We're talking about Jezebel here.
Yeah.
They'll try to intimidate the truth teller.
Yeah.
If you're a truth teller, you need to be vigilant about the manipulative intimidation that can sometimes go on.
Yeah.
I love how Micaiah first just says, "Oh, great idea." No, this can seem to know a lot of love here, but see the thing is, see if it's a matter of life and death and saving somebody for life or death, sometimes you've got to just talk about these things.
Yeah.
No. It's not something I'd want to talk about every week. But I'll be honest with you. This is the stuff that set me free.
Know the petals
and the blowing smoke up my ass. To be honest with you.
Yeah.
It's the stuff that sets you free.
Yeah.
To be honest with you. And I'm so grateful for it. And I'm do you know what I'm even more grateful for? That it's in God's word.
Yeah.
I'm grateful the exact same story's in it twice too.
Yeah.
Just to make sure that I get it.
Yeah.
Exact same story.
Yeah.
Okay, verse 17 to 27. This is I'll try and read this pretty quick. And the king of Israel said to Joseph, "Did I not tell you?" He would no prophesy. "Did I not tell you? He never tells me what I want to hear. There he's away there, tell me him again, you know. He's a party pooper. He's a party pooper. I don't like that. Can I just go to the circus and see the clowns? They don't tell me what I want to hear. See? Never preaches good about me." And the king of Israel said to Joseph, "Did I not tell you concerning him?" But he never says good but evil. Isn't it amazing that truth can become evil to people who don't want to change? Then Micaiah said, "Therefore, hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne and a host in heaven standing on his right hand and his left hand side. And the Lord said, who will persuade Ahab, king of Israel, to go up that he may fall to Ramoth Gilead? So one spoke in this manner, another spoke in this manner. He's talking about the false prophets, and he's talking about the yes people. Who you're selling? Who he was selling the bad idea to. Then a spirit came forward and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. The Lord said to him, in what way? And he said, I will go and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And the Lord said, you shall persuade him and also prevail. Go out and do so. Verse 22, nearly there. Therefore, look, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of these prophets of yours. And the Lord has declared disaster against you. Then Zedekiah, the son of Chenaiah, went near and struck Micaiah on the cheek and said, which way did the Spirit of the Lord go for me to speak to you? It never fails to amaze me. It never fails to amaze me how people can use God's name when they're lying through their teeth. Then Zedekiah, the son of Chenaiah, and then it says, and Micaiah says, indeed you shall set on that day when you go into the inner chamber to hide. Then the king of Israel said, take Micaiah and return him to Amon, the governor of the city, and to Josh, the king's son. And say, thus the king, put this man in prison and feed him with bread and affliction. If you're selling yourself, point five, if you're selling yourself a bad idea of feeding in roses, you'll shut the truth teller out of your life. You will shut the truth teller right out of your life. If you're shutting a truth teller out of your life, you're ready. You are selling yourself a bad idea.
Yeah.
You are selling yourself a bad idea. You'll shut the truth teller out of your life in order to drown out their voice. Just to drown out their voice. You can drown out their voice. You can't drown out the result. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing how we think we can drown out the voice and that makes us drown out the result? If you drown out the voice, it doesn't drown out the result.
Yeah.
If your favourite team have just had a goal scored against them, you turn the volume down because you don't want to hear the other team singing, it's still 1-0.
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I just made that up on the spot there. But it's true, isn't it? Turn that down, I don't want to see them celebrating. It's still 1-0. Doesn't matter whether you hear the cheering or no, it's still 1-0.
Yeah.
What? Okay, nearly closed here. Verse 28. So King Ahab of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went up to Ramoth Gilead. Here's the classic coming here. This is the classic of all classics. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, I will disguise myself and go into battle, but you put on your robes. So the king of Israel disguised himself and they went into battle. Point six, if you're trying to sell yourself a bad idea or a neurosis, you will disguise yourself and hide behind a mask.
Wow. That's awesome.
And other people.
Yeah.
In the hope that you'll get away with it.
Wow.
Here's here's Ahab. Here's King Ahab. Now pretending that he's no the man. So what he said is, Jehoshaphat. So he already knows it's a bad idea. He already knows, but he's too late. He's selling himself the bad idea. I'm selling myself the bad idea. I know it's a bad idea, but I'm selling myself a bad idea. La, 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 la. I'm drowning out the voices. I'm drowning out the truth teller. I've locked him in a prison. Party pooper. He does evil, he never speaks good against me. All this stuff's going on, and now he's getting into battle, and he's like, Jehoshaphat, you dress up like me. I'll disguise myself. It doesn't matter how you try to hide. See, if you're selling yourself a bad idea, it's a bad idea.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter whether you dress up in a good idea.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter how you, doesn't matter. See, he thinks that, see, if I'm going to get killed, it'll be Jehoshaphat that gets killed. Oh, but Jehoshaphat, it won't be me that gets killed. If you're trying to sell yourself a bad idea or feeding your neurosis, you'll disguise yourself and hide behind a mask.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow, that's awesome.
Thinking somehow by disguising it, you'll get a different result.
Yeah.
And then maybe put other people in front of you so you can hide behind it. I think you'll get away with it. This is God's word we're talking about. This is no. This is. You can't make this up.
Yeah.
No. I'm sure if you want to go away, and I'm sure if you will, you could go away and. You could go away and then go, well, I'm going to dress up anyway and I'm going to ignore that and I'm going to ignore what Mark said because it's just Mark, you know what I mean? No, Mark, is this you need to take up?
Yeah.
Take up with this guy.
Yeah.
Don't take it up with me, take up with this guy.
Yeah.
This was the outcome, okay? That was my last point. This was the outcome. Verse 33. This was the outcome. Did you hear all the warnings? Did you hear all the what? Did you hear all the stuff?
Yeah.
Did you hear all the opportunities?
Yeah.
400 years. Micaiah came. I'm telling you, you're going to buy it. You're going to buy it. Oh, no matter, but I'll disguise it. No matter. Never tells anyone here. Disney matter. I've got 400 yes men telling me. Disney matter. I surround myself with weaker people so I can lord over them. Disney matter.
Yeah.
Verse 33. Now, a certain man drew a bow at random. How random do you think that was?
Yeah.
Based on this, here's the problem with random. This is the problem when people don't listen to truth, and this is the problem when people don't take heed to this kind of stuff. See, when some takes them out, they cannot understand what it was.
Yeah.
That's why they keep making the same mistake.
Yeah.
Wasn't it random? I don't know what happened. I see maybe doing all right 1 minute, and now I'm not doing okay. It was just random. I don't know what happened. Random? Are you kidding? Random? There's nothing random about it.
Yeah.
It was way upstream.
Yeah.
You had loads of warnings and loads of signals that you didn't listen to. There was nothing random about it.
Yeah.
It was random. I mean, it was just a random arrow. I mean, are you kidding? Random? I don't know what it was. I know what it was. It was way upstream that you never listened. It was way upstream that you shot the truth out of your life. It's way upstream that you looked the truth in the prison. It's a way upstream that you fell out with the truth so that you could party with your own idea. It was way upstream that you done that. No, it wasn't random.
Yeah.
Now, the certain man drew a bow at random and struck the king of Israel. Hey, no Jehoshaphat. Ahab.
Yeah.
Just random. You think so? Just random. Certain man drew at random and struck the king of Israel between the joints and the armour. I mean, he's even got armour on that still was able to get through a certain bit. I don't know. I think that guy Micaiah might have had some. I think he might have knew some compared to the 400 yes men. I could be. Call me wrong. I think this guy might have knew stuff. So then Ahab says, so he said to the driver in his chariot, turn round and take me out of the battle, for I am wounded. You better believe you. The battle increased that day, and the king of Israel propped himself up in the chariot. See, this breaks my heart, this. This stuff breaks your heart. It really does. This stuff breaks your heart. Because of pride and ego and bravado and arrogance and a lack of submission. And a father wound.
Yeah.
And a fear and a pain and a rejection.
Yeah.
That they couldn't take heed.
Yeah.
And it says this. That he propped himself up in the chariot. Facing the Syrians. See, he just would not let it go.
Yeah.
He just would not let it go. Right to the death. I'm still right. You're dying.
Yeah.
And then it says, facing the Syrians, still the pride.
Yeah.
Still the pride.
Yeah.
Pride before the fall.
Yeah.
Still the pride.
Yeah.
Facing the Syrians until evening. And then at sunset he died. Please, wherever you are on your journey, take heed to what I'm saying.
Because
if you don't, you're in bother.
Yeah.
You're in deep stook. Seriously, you know, if you've been to this church any length of time, you would know that this is rare for me to talk this.
Yeah.
But don't allow the enemy to rob you of your future because you're protecting a bad idea.
Yeah.
Or you're protecting your pride or your fear or your neurosis, your anxiety or your rejection or your jealousy or your inadequacy or your chronic lack of submission problem.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh, fun, it's why The poor little funnest way through. Don't allow the enemy to make you fearfully facing the beliefs that's going to set you free. Your resentment, your anger, your stuff that's stolen truth. When is the last time you smiled something? Like, you're not smiling anymore. I know you're not smiling. You're not smiling anymore because you've stopped listening to the truth. Yeah. You used to smile. You've stopped smiling.
Yeah.
You stopped smiling because you stopped listening to truth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Truth doesn't make you cry. It makes you smile.
Yeah.
It really does.
Yeah.
You stop smiling, you smile for a while. Mm-hmm. I sometimes look at people and you've no smile for ages. I don't say it, but I just think, you've no smile for ages. Because the joy of the Lord's not there. Because you're selling yourself a bad idea.
Yeah.
And God wants to free us off of that stuff. Some people need to swallow their pride.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about in here. No, there are people listening. You need to swallow your pride.
Yeah.
Because the bullet won't miss you. And it doesn't matter whether you shoot the messenger up here. I'm not in the firing line.
Yeah.
You can shoot the messenger. You can fire bullets here. I'm not in the firing line here. Else that random bullet won't be random. All because we don't take heed sometimes.
Yeah.
And just sometimes you need messages like this. Just take heed.
Yeah.
Just take heed.
Yeah.
Take heed.
Yeah.
Take heed to what you're pursuing.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you the last time I came up with an idea that I never asked advice about.
Mm.
I could not tell you. Do you know why? I cannot be trusted in my own head.
Yeah.
Seriously, I can't be trusted. And I have to take heed to that, and I have to be willing to, I want to get it right. And we can't just, because we can come to church and we can be in here for a long time, and someone can just take us out.
Yeah.
You think it was random? Random? How can a habit be random?
Yeah.
There's no such thing as a random habit. It's not, it's a habit.
Yeah.
If you trace it back, you get somebody in your life and you go, hey, this is where this started. I can tell you where this started. I can ask you something. What is it you see?
Mm-hmm.
We need to ask the questions, guys. I know that's scary because especially when you've got trust issues, you've got loyal issues, and even bigger so if you've got this Ahab thing going on where you're trying to keep on selling yourself a bad idea. Time's gone. Fraser, do you want to come up? I don't know why this happened. I have never been once surprised in my life in church when somebody leaves. Never. I've never been surprised once.
Yeah.
I have never. I think over the years I am rarely shocked. I am not shocked, at least. This is what I call it, departure lounge. Book. You've booked it. You've packed. You've drifted to the departure lounge. You're just waiting on your name called. You're just waiting on something. You're just waiting on something. Somebody to say something.
Yeah.
Somebody to do something. Somebody to criticise you. Somebody to no love you. Just the least wee thing. That's it. I'm off on the next flight.
Yeah.
There's nothing random about it.
Right.
I've been studying the brochure for ages.
Yeah.
I used to be addicted to studying holiday brochures, to be honest with you. That's where I got my education. Pure escapism. Any of that? I used to have about that amount of brochures in this. I was never going anywhere. You ask me anything about any holiday resort in Europe, I'll be able to tell you about it. No, because I've been, because I've read it in the Thompson's brochure. And he's done that stuff. Pure escapism. I mean, that's ask me, I'm no joking. I'm no just saying this. See if you come and see me after the service and ask me anything about holiday resort, I'll probably be able to tell you, but it's no me. You don't get holiday brochures now because you book online. Anyway, nothing to do with what I was going to say there. I don't know why this happened. It's happened. It's happened. And you've booked it and you've packed it. And your name's getting called and you're only by out. And there's nothing. It can be dead methodical, that stuff. I'll say this. This is dead bold, but I'm just going to say it. I'm trying to say it in as much love as I can. I've never met anybody that's been to Hope United that's left that's got better. Not one.
Yeah.
Not one. I am not joking. I'm not just saying that. Now, that takes boldness to say that. I'm not talking about people that came and thought, this isn't really for me, or I don't mean that, or people that came and visited and thought, Mark's a psycho, I'm not coming back. No, that stuff. I get that. Or this isn't for me, or we're not there. Or, I want to be in a bigger church, or I want to be in a more intimate church, or I want to be in a more Pentecostal, all singing feelings church. I don't mean that. I'm talking about people that's been here and heard the truth, who received the truth, then went down this road, who's left. I have not met one. I kid you. I'm saying this in a platform in the name of Jesus. I have not met one. Yeah. And people are listening to this on here, and I'm talking to you today. I have not met one who's went on a day in and better. Yeah. They've took a bullet. It's true. They've took a bullet. And I do not want any take a bullet. But they've took a bullet. I wish it were not true. But it is. It's true for every single one. And I stand here totally unashamed and unabashed and totally not embarrassed about it. I never talk less. Not one. Not the people that's visited and left. I get that. It's not suited them. They're good people. Great. I'm talking about people that's been inside and been included and accepted and been part of the growing environment and part of this environment and made this their home and left. It's no ended well, and it breaks your heart.
Yeah.
It breaks your heart. Of course they'll not tell you that. And they'll certainly not tell you that for the first few months, as the prodigals are always having a party when they're leaving the first 2 months.
Yeah.
It's 6 months later, it's the year later, it's the two year later. When they're no longer walking the will of God.
Yeah.
But they're away selling themselves a bad idea and a bad habit. When any a bad relationship. That they've got away. You're thinking, it was for freedom that Christ set you free. Not to be yoked again to your bondage of slavery.
Yeah.
And religion that's taking you further away. Because you had a submission problem. Because you had a surrender problem. Because you were selling yourself a bad idea. And it ain't helping you.
Yeah.
I mean, you wake up and Jesus loves you.
Yeah.
And he doesn't want that for any of you.
Yeah, that's right.
And he doesn't want it for them that's left either. That's why we welcome them back. And if you're listening here, come back.
Yeah.
Come back. Yeah. Come back.
Yeah.
Come back. Humble yourself and come back. And we will love you. And we won't ask you questions. And we'll accept you when you come back. And we will not ask where you've been or what you've done. We'll just have a bank and we'll have a party.
Yeah.
Let's go on the prodigals back in the church.
Yeah.
And we need to tell them that they're welcome back.
Yeah.
Here's the random bullet thing, okay? 2 Kings 13, 14 to 17. Can you put this up? 2 Kings 13, 14. You think this was maybe random? Not a random bullet, eh? Just a random arrow. Random arrow. Have you got that? I'll go it myself. 2 Kings 13. Same story. Sometimes just... You know... I used to talk this all the time in church. Then I mellowed. And I'm glad I mellowed. I really mellowed. And I want to see this stuff well. Because there's life and death in the power of the tongue. I want to be able to stand in another man's shoes without taking away the shine.
Yeah.
This is not to judge you or correct you. This is to make you believe that you're better than what the choices that you're making.
Yeah.
Random bullet. Elijah had become sick with an illness. Elijah, this is God's appointed man here. God's getting an amazing way of doing stuff. You should read all this. See this. You should make a film of this. Elijah had become sick with an illness of which he would die. Then Josh, the king of Israel, came down to him. See, God's always trying to bring his people back into the rightful ownership and the rightful order. A man, a God who should be running about. He's always trying to bring them into the right order and the right people in their life.
Yeah, yeah.
Always. Every single one he's in this room. God is so desperate to align you with the right man and woman of God for your life because he loves you and he's got an amazing plan for your life. Regardless of the stuff that we talk about that's no great, he's desperate to align you with the right people.
Yeah.
Elisha became sick with the illness of which he would die. Then Joash, king of Israel, came down to him and wept over his faith and said, "Oh, my father, the chariots of Israel and their horsemen." Next verse. I'll go eat myself. And Elisha says to him, "Take a bow and some arrows." So he took it. He took himself a bow and some arrows. Next verse. Then he said, "The king of Israel, put your hand in the bow." And he put his hand on it. And Elijah put his hand on the king's hand. Here's Elisha lying in his deathbed. God's anointed man. God's no self-appointed man. No yes man. No approval people. No the 400 men who blow smoke up Ahab's backside. God's appointed man. Then he said to king of Israel, and he said to him, "Open the east window." Here's a guy lying in his bed. "Open the east window." Here's God's man lying in bed. "Open the east window." Where's he go? He's got a bow and arrow and he's on. "Random, are you kidding me?" "Open the east window." And he opened and Elijah said, "Shoot." And he shot it. An arrow. Guess what arrow do you think that was? The random arrow. The random arrow. Don't you think Micaiah knew something? Don't you think Micaiah knew something? Then Elijah said, "Shoot," he shot. "An arrow of the Lord's deliverance, an arrow of deliverance from Syria. For you must try the Syrians until they have destroyed them." Random arrow. Now people and scholars will say, you know what, but money, there's no real proof that that was the arrow. But where did it go? Where was it, just target? Just was it in the air? Was it just a balloon that was attached to it saying hello? Who did you think it hot? Was it his arrow? Was it God delivering his people? See, God's going to have his way no matter what. And God will have his way in your life no matter what. Doesn't matter how much you disguise yourself. Doesn't matter how much you shut people out of your life. He's going to have his way. If you've been away from this church and you've come back, thank you. I honour you. Take some courage to do that. Because you can go someplace in your head. In your head. That's for the camera. You can go someplace in your head and then you come back and you wonder, am I going to be accepted or going to be loved? You go to have a party for the prodigals. Yeah. You go to have a party for the prodigals. You know what? They maybe took a bullet, but you know what? There's resurrection. There's a resurrection in people's lives. Oh, this is where you want to preach. This is where you want to get the piano out now. I know there'll be people here and there'll be people listening, they'll just be like, ah, whatever. Whatever. Whatever exactly, whatever to you. Whatever to you too. But you've heard. And you're going to have to go some way to unexplain what I've just said there. You're going to have to go some way to think I'm the nutter. Do you get what I'm saying? Amen.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from Hope United. You can stay connected with us through our Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram pages.